Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.
Now, lads, I don't know if you remember, you probably don't, but back in January, we were talking to people who had gone back to do a course or retrain in something that they have always wanted to do. And a listener, Orla, got in touch with the show. And as we were speaking about reskilling, she mentioned that she was also a foster parent. And I just had to get Orla back on because I just wanted to talk to her about fostering in more detail. And if you've been through the foster system or are currently a foster parent or thinking of becoming a foster parent, we'd love to hear from you. You can text me 51552. Orla's back on the line. Orla!
Good morning, Jen. How are you keeping?
How are you, missus? Are you well?
I'm well. Yourself?
I'm good. Thank you so much for coming back on and chatting to us this morning about this. Can you just remind us how long you've been a foster parent for?
So it's going on near 13 years now. And for the kind of greater part of that journey, I've been doing it as a single parent. So most people might be kind of surprised by that because I think maybe that's something you can do. But I'm here to tell you, you definitely and absolutely can.
Good on you. And how many children have you fostered in that time?
10. So my first foster child 13 years ago, she is still with me today.
Wow. Okay. And the age ranges of the kids? Do you want to tell me?
Yeah, everything from babies right up to teenagers. So I've kind of had a great cross-section of kids from different cultural backgrounds as well, different abilities, mixed abilities kids coming in, you know, and it's been amazing. Each child has really taught me something different about life, and I really think I'm a better person for having this experience with them and, you know, them with each other. I have a biological son as well, and, you know, he wouldn't have had all these wonderful siblings in his life if it wasn't for this journey that we've taken together. And they've continued even to have relationships when they've gone to independent living and are like siblings together out in the world as well.
Amazing.
So it's been amazing.
How many are you looking after at the moment?
Oh, I'm so quiet. I've only got 3 kids in the house.
You've only got 3 kids. That would that just gives me a panic attack just listening to you. 3 kids. Okay, so you have 3. So let me ask you this, because this is something I've thought about as a parent and thought, geez, maybe I could open my home to kids in need. Why did you decide to become a foster parent?
Well, originally both my parents fostered, so they're probably one of the first foster families in Loud. So I grew up with it. I grew up with kids coming in and out of our house. My mum used to go shopping and arrive back with kids and think back, this is the day with it before mobile phones. So they would track her down wherever she was and they might say, come up and there's somebody here, we need you to help. And you'd open the front door and they're shopping and a child in the middle of it. And that could be, they'd come in for maybe a short period of time to a very long period of time. In fact, one of those children, which would very much be one of our siblings now, is still part of our family.
That's just so lovely to hear. And you mentioned that you have a biological son, is that right? You have a biological son of your own.
Yeah.
And how does he feel? I mean, do you remember his reaction when the first child came or the second child when he was around? Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was amazing. He was only about 2 or 3 and, you know, he was very used to sitting up on his mommy's knee, and then this small baby came along and the baby was sitting on my knee and he came over and he put his hands up to me and went, Mom! And I looked at the baby and that was basically the extent of his jealousy. That was it. He just, you know, they were just so close right from day one, and they're just, you know, they're the best of friends now, you know, and yeah, he just totally accept, I suppose, because he was young maybe as well, but it's always been part of a life, so he doesn't know any different.
It sounds like it's always been part of your life. I mean, if this is how you grow up, it seems quite natural and normal to have these kids coming in and out and some staying longer than others. Can you tell us about the process of becoming a foster parent? Very interesting, you said you're a single parent, and that it would be the one thing I would think, probably aligning it to adoption, like, oh, it might be more difficult if you're single to be able to do something like this. But do you have to do a course? How long does it take? Is it difficult? Do maybe many people drop out? Just tell me about the process of actually doing it.
Yeah, so I suppose you kind of think, you know, maybe that's something I'd like to do. And then you kind of probably think about it for a while. And then you go, you know what, I'm just going to do it. I'll get in contact. So you touch base with someone like Tusla. They're the state agency for looking after families. And that's who the fostering process goes through. And then they'll send you a little bit of paperwork. Social workers will come to the house, and over a period of time, they will have interviews with you. So they'll do, you know, if it's a couple, they'll do a couple interviews. They'll do individual interviews. They'll look at your house and make sure it's, you know, a safe environment for children, that they would have, you know, a room. Where are they going to sleep? And they'll talk through all the, you know, the aspects, if you're working or not working, you know, if the child, you know, was, what the support system is around your family as well. So that's another important part of the jigsaw when you're fostering. And that can take up to a year. I don't think most people would be going over the year on that, but it gives you time to think about the process, and maybe that process might throw up some challenges that you hadn't thought about before. And so that I kind of, on both sides, you know, when you get to the point of the year, you know, you're going to go to a committee meeting, and the social worker will bring all the information, and then, you know, you'll get past at that point. And
so you get a child, and that child could be any age between, you know, newborn and 18 or 17, yeah. I suspect. So you really don't know what you're going to get, do you? Is it just whatever? I mean, do you ever know, or, you know, what age range?
Yeah, I mean, they will set that out at the start. You know, you might say, I only want to take teenagers.
Okay.
You might say you don't want to take teenagers. You want to have, you know, a specific, you have an input into this whole process.
Okay,
so
interesting.
Then when you do get a call, then you know you're asked, it's, you know, they will give you the background information about the child as much as they can, and they'll say, do you know, do you want to have a wee think about it? And you might go off and speak to your partner or kids and decide, and then come back and say, yeah, this is something we'd like to do. And then they say, right, I'll be around at 5 o'clock or whatever that might be with the children, you know.
Orla, what about, as we know, kids need to go to school, they need resources. So how easy is it to take a child who's going to school, let's say they're 10 and they need to go to school, how easy is it to go to your local school and go, I have a foster kid, they need to go to school, can they come to you? Like, how does that all work?
The majority of the time, a child will be placed with you that's probably in a local school. So if there's going to be quite a bit of upheaval in the child's life, they're going to try and keep as much possible the same for the child. So if it's all possible, that most of the time the child will stay in the same school, and it can be somewhere close by for you, you know, because you have to be able to manage the day-to-day activities, you know, along with your family. So that's made as easy as possible for you. If there's any kind of extra, support that the child needs, you know, actually probably really, really lucky, because normally with a child in care, you're brought to the top of the queue for a lot of different supports that maybe other people actually might be getting years to wait from. So that's kind of an extra bonus, and just to make sure that the supports are there for children. So I feel like quite blessed in that sense, that my kids have been really able to access services quite very quickly. You know,
some people have the perception, let's be honest, that foster children are tough work and can be troublesome. Without any specifics, what has your experience been like?
You know, I think, of course, there's challenges. There's challenges with all parenting. But I think in life, the things that you have to fight for a bit more are the things that you're proudest of. You know, I suppose getting, you know, children for me have come from all different backgrounds. You know, some didn't even speak English, and that was a really interesting journey. They have amazing English now. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know what, I think you just have to come with an open heart and a flexible mind. And I don't believe you just foster a kid. I think you foster a family. So it's always been important to me to try and develop a good relationship with the birth family. And I mean, TUSLA, before a child has come to care, will have put a lot of supports in with families that are struggling up to that point. And a child going into care will be, that's the last port of call for TUSLA in many cases. So there's many other things that they will do, first of all, before a child might even get to that point, you know.
Do you have a system, like when a child arrives at your home, a stranger's home, effectively, have you a routine or a system for settling them in to the house?
Well, I'll open the door, the child will be there, and if they're open to receiving a hug, I'll give them a big hug, and I'll say, always say to them, this is your home for as long as you want or need to be here. And then they'll come in generally and sit on the sofa. There'll be a little bit of chit or chatter, and Probably within half an hour, you know, you might be showing them their room, let them get settled in. The kids my kids might come in and start chatting to them. They might show, come on up and see my room, or, you know, they'll start, you know, just making them feel welcome as well. And then basically you're just into day-to-day family life of what you'd normally be doing, you know.
Are we short on foster parents in Ireland at the moment, Orla? What do you think?
We're always short, you know. That's why, every so often, Tuss will have come out and do a big appeal to get people, you know, especially in times like this where families can be really struggling, and that's, you know, it will maybe throw up more problems in society and people do need more help. But you can never have enough good foster parents out there to help support the families. And I have to say, you know, personally, it's never something that you would ever regret. I wouldn't change a thing. And you know, even with all the other stuff that I do in life, it's the thing that's given me the most joy, and just seeing how my kids, the kids thrive in this world, and that they've gone on and they're standing on their own two feet. They're unbelievable kids. They have great resilience and strength, and, you know, and good hearts. And isn't that all we can hope for our kids at the end of the day?
I just want to ask you lastly, are there any myths? You know, you said one thing at the top of this, you said about being a single parent and you can still do it. Are there any other myths that people get wrong about fostering?
The first thing people always say, I don't know how you could let them go. You know, people are, I guess, afraid of getting attached to a child and then maybe the child return home. But if that's a child's journey, you know, you might be in their life for a short space of time and that's all you're needed for. But you will know, you're not going to be kind of blindsided by a child that you think is going to be there and then suddenly they're maybe gone out of your life. But, you know, that never happens. So there's actually what they call reunification of the families coming back together. If that's going to be happening, you're very much part of that process. Foster families will throw a big party and it's a real joyful experience that happens. But, you know, actually, unfortunately, in the 13 years, that's actually never been the experience for me. So especially in this area, it's actually maybe a quite a lower thing. But that's probably because Tussle have put in a lot of the work with families before they've got to that point. So that maybe it's the families that are not going to really change, that maybe the kids are going to stay in care. So, yeah.
And just lastly, why would some kids come to you? Without giving any specifics, in general, not to you, into the foster care system. Why would children be going into the foster care system?
It's families that are under pressure. I suppose a lot might be, you know, addictions and different things like that. But that just the family aren't in a place to really provide the loving, safe environment for their kids at that time. So those families just need an extra bit of help. So it can be for a short time or it can be for a long time.
Orla, thank God for people like you. You're a legend. You're an absolute star. And thank you for coming on and giving us all that information. And hopefully I'll talk to you soon. There we go. That is Orla. I just want to thank her again for speaking with us this morning. That was Orla, a foster parent, speaking with us about what it's like to be a foster parent. We are getting so many questions about the foster care system in on 51552. So this is what we'll do. And this is what we'll do. We'll try to get a rep from Tusla to answer. So if you have a question, you can get in touch now and we'll get those questions answered. That is on the way next.
Jen Zaffirelli on 2FM.
Now, if you missed it earlier in the show, we spoke to Orla and Liam about their experiences of being foster parents. And we've had a huge response. And I just wanted to speak with Shauna, who can tell us about her experience of being a child who grew up in foster care. Shauna, good morning.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Thank you so much for doing this, first of all. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, thanks. I have a little bit of a cold, so I hope you can hear me okay.
I can hear you loud and clear. No Brilliant. Problem there. So, Shauna, what age and for how long were you in foster care?
So, I went into the care system when I was about seven.
Seven, okay. And were you with one family or was it a few? And what's the longest you were with a family for?
Yeah, so unfortunately, I actually wasn't with the same family for my time in the care system. I moved around quite a lot. The longest I was ever with a family was actually my last family before I aged out. And that was 4 years.
Okay. Do you remember, as a seven-year-old, walking into that house the first time?
Yeah, funnily enough, I actually don't remember like a lot from that time, but that is one memory that is etched like, I remember the guards and the social workers came, and I was told I was going on a holiday. So I was actually quite excited.
Okay.
But, like, you're so innocent then, you don't realise, like, obviously guards and stuff like that, you don't realise the severity of the situation.
And so you were told you're going on holiday. So did you really have any understanding that you were in care or what was going on?
Yeah, not really. And what made matters worse was we actually went to a lady that lived beside a beach. So, of course, it was really like a holiday.
Well, I'm definitely on my holidays now. So there's a beach and everything, they're telling
me.
Okay. So you were there for a short time. But at what age did you start to understand what was going on?
Yeah, good question. I probably was that little bit older. I probably was maybe like 9 or 10 when I actually kind of started to realise, oh, something's unusual here. Particularly after a few moves to different families.
Okay. And you said you moved quite a bit. Did you stay in the same school? Did you have any constant in your life?
Yeah, actually, that was one of the brilliant things, was I actually did stay in the same school, which was massive. It kept that bit of normality.
And did you have contact with your biological parents?
Yeah, I had a small bit of contact through phone calls and access and things like that.
Okay. You said you stayed in the same school, which is great. Did your friends know what was going on with you, and were you ever worried what they would think?
So it happened when I was in primary school, so I don't think that they did. However, when I was then in secondary school, it got a little bit more I became a lot more aware. Obviously, you're a teenager and you're going through all the awkward teenager stages, and I remember like having like what I used to call a cover story, particularly for parent-teacher meetings, because like my friends would be like, oh, why are your grandparents here? You know, and they weren't my grandparents. They were just an older couple. And I was like, oh, just because your parents are working and they can't make it.
The cover story.
The cover story comes out. Exactly, yeah.
You mentioned being a teenager there. I can imagine it can be a tricky time. It's a tricky time anyway for any teenager, but a teenager in care. And then you have this thing, if you're approaching 18, that it's the end of the road in terms of foster care. Would that make you, or did that make you anxious?
I was a very anxious teenager anyway. But I do remember approaching 18, and actually I had turned 18 early on in the school year. So I think that actually made matters worse, because you were dwelling on it. And everyone remembers sitting there leaving cert. Like, there's not one person you'll speak to that doesn't remember that. And I remember sitting my leaving cert, and everyone is there, oh, we're planning this night out, you know, end of exams and all this sort of stuff. And I had to put on, like, my public face, so to say, pretending to be excited for the big night out, what I was going to wear. But in the back of my head, I was like, where am I going to live? Like, I have to leave, you know? And that was a really, really difficult time to manage.
Did you manage, Shauna? What happened? I mean, you turn 18, it's the end of your time in foster care. What happened then? Where did you go?
Okay, I actually don't know how I managed this, but I did have a very supportive foster family at the end. And we found a B&B that I could go to, particularly because I was entering a course and stuff like that. So I was staying in a B&B after I finished my leaving cert.
And how long were you in the B&B?
A year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell me what is life like for you now?
Well, you know, it's pretty good. I can't complain. It is difficult anyway trying to navigate adulthood, particularly when you still feel 16 in your head, you know, paying bills and taxes and all that sort of stuff. But it does make it a little bit harder, particularly because you are trying to, you know, amend, so to say, like the sort of trauma and things like that that you were experiencing as a young person that only possibly reared its head later on in life. So I am taking every day as it comes, you know, and trying just to deal with things that way. But no, life's good, and you know, I'm pretty happy at the minute.
Good on you. Do you still speak to any of the families that you've stayed with? Do you stay in contact?
I stayed in contact with my last family, and still to this day, like their daughter comes and stays with me, and we have sleepovers and stuff. Yeah, because I would have been there when she was only quite young. And it was actually very unusual. I remember I was leaving and my foster mother said, I would love for you to stay in contact. And I was there like so suspicious of this, because I was like, why do you want to stay in contact with me? Because like every other family, they, you know, they tend to cut ties, because it also helps you move on, because it is very upsetting when you have to move on from a family that you've just started getting to know, and now you have
to finally become comfortable with. I can imagine.
Yeah, it's like a breakup. That's what I used to describe it as, because it's like you go from talking to someone every day, and then, you know, now you have to move on and get to know another family.
That's a lot of heartache for a young kid.
Yeah, it is, you know, and it does. It leaves
a mark.
You know, it leaves a mark, because now, you know, in later in life, you still have that suspicion of people, like, oh God, why do they want to keep in contact with me?
We are getting so many texts and emails from people who are really considering becoming a foster parent. Do you have any advice, as someone who has firsthand experience of the foster care system, do you have any advice for them, or what would you say to them?
Okay, so I would first of all say that I would love people to come forward, because I do feel like my experience in the care system, albeit, you know, it was quite good, it wasn't the worst, it was, you know, I got on and things like that, it would have been made a lot better if I had that continuity, that I had that stability of just one family. And basically, when you enter the care system, you're matched with a family, so based on your needs, based on their needs. And if there's not enough families, or people, sorry, you don't have to be a family, who, you know, if there's not enough
available,
yeah, you can't get matched to the best possible person or family.
I.e. in your area, to give you some stability,
exactly.
All that kind of stuff. Gotcha. Gotcha.
And a lot of the negative experiences in care do come from this stigma that's attached to it. You know, a lot of, you know, people who aren't care aware, and, you know, obstacles to sort of accessing these families who are best suited to your needs. Because a lot of young people in care will have, you know, additional needs and, you know, trauma experience and stuff. But I always say to people, becoming a foster parent, like I have been with so many foster parents, and I have seen the same qualities in all of them, that basically, if you are supportive in any way, that is what makes the most impact on a care experienced young person. It's the support, it's feeling valued. Like my last family were very encouraging of me, and that did help me grow and develop into the person that I am today. If you're loving and caring and have empathy and have the ability, you know, additional sort of space in your heart to care for a young person in the care system, that is what makes a great foster parent.
Shauna, thank you so much for coming on air and sharing your story with us. I wish you the very best of luck. Last question.
Thank you so much.
Can I just ask you, would you ever consider becoming a foster parent later in life?
I actually have thought about this, and I would love to become a foster parent. I feel I would be the best person nearly to foster a child in daycare, because I have been through it and I can empathise with that young person so much. But at the same time, you don't have to have that experience to be a good foster parent. But I have always said that I would love to, yeah.
You're amazing. Shauna, thanks again for coming on air. We're actually, just in the conversation we've had so many texts in of people wanting now to become foster parents. They're hearing their real story. So I think you've actually made a real difference just coming on and sharing your story. So I want to thank you for that. And best of luck in everything you do, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shauna. Jen Zaffirelli on 2FM. We're talking about fostering. We've heard from both sides. We've heard from foster parents. We have heard from people in the care system. A lot of texts coming in. Jen, I'm in tears. These people are absolute heroes. And just about Shauna, oh my God, that young lady is amazing. I don't know her, but I'm so proud of her as a foster mom with two kids. I hope they will feel that my home is their home and if possible, always be in their story. But her story is so true and so well told. Very proud. Well done, honey, this texter says. Morning, Jen. What an amazing young girl. How strong is she? And then we have a lot of questions in. And luckily, we put a call into Tusla. And I'm delighted to say we have principal social worker Julie Cahill is on the line. Julie, how are you?
Good morning. How are you, Jen?
I'm very good. Thank you so much. And I'm so happy that the response on the text, Julie, has been amazing. Brilliant. And a lot of people asking questions, real questions really? About how they become foster parents. So let's talk about it. First of all, what does a principal social worker do for Tusla?
Well, they can do lots of things. But what I do is I work over, I suppose, the approval and assessment of foster care in the area that I work in. But I suppose more generally, I've worked around children and families for 20 odd years and in fostering for about 15. So hopefully I know a little bit that can help you to answer some of the questions today.
Amazing. And how many foster parents are there in Ireland?
There is just under 4,000 foster carers in Ireland at the moment, but as all of your callers this morning who've been brilliant have said, we are always looking for more.
Yes, absolutely. Did the pandemic affect fostering, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, the pandemic was really hard. We all know the pandemic was very hard for all of us and children and families, obviously, you know, was difficult. So it has, and it's affected all of us, I think, trying to come out of it. And for some children and families, they really had a hard time. And we have seen children coming into care as a result of that. But what's also great is I think a lot of people took time to kind of reflect and say, maybe fostering is something I can do. And the other thing is we probably got good at doing things like maybe online information meetings and some of those things that are helping people to kind of hear more about us and to get in contact with us.
Okay, let's talk about the process because that's what people want to know. Let's talk about the process of becoming a foster parent. You have to do a course, first of all, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is we've a website, fostering.ie, which is a lot of information. So if people want to go on to that and read it in their own time. But if you want to contact through that or there's a phone number, 1-800-226-771. And the first step is just to make contact with us. And what I would always say to people is, don't kind of sit in your own sitting room and rule yourself out and say, well, I couldn't do it. You know, like Orla earlier was saying, I'm a single parent or whatever. So give us a ring because actually maybe it would work out for you rather than ruling yourself out. So the first thing is you'd contact us and a social worker would have a phone call and a conversation with you. After that, we'd come to your house, we'd do a home visit. And all the time you're working through with people, is it right for you? This is what it looks like. If after that you think, look, I would be really interested and we think, yeah, that's a good idea, you go on to do what is called an assessment. Orla talked about that, which is a number of conversations with you in your home, going through what fostering looks like, going through the reality of your life. And then obviously we do training alongside of that. And after that approval as a foster carer, then hopefully if all of that is going well.
And how long does that process take? Okay, so let's say you sign up, you do the course, you have the chats. How long would it take for you to get a child into your home?
Yeah, I mean, again, that can take time. Like you make the first phone at different stages, and rightly so, people will say, I want to think about this bit and then I'll take a break. So if you say the first phone call and you have a chat and you might say, look, yeah, come out to the house, and that might be a month later and you come out to the house. Once we start the assessment, usually the actual assessment is about 4 months, 4 or 5 months long that we do the assessment and then you're going for approval. But exactly what, I mean, I'm listening to Liam saying it took about 2 years, Orla saying it took about a year. For different reasons along the path, rightly so, I'd often say to people, you've heard a lot there now, you might need to sit down at home and think, this is definitely what we want to do. And the reason you take time on that is exactly what Sean is saying. once the child is there, we want children to be well matched, and we want children, if they need to stay in care, ideally to stay in the one place.
Okay.
So what you're doing is taking your time to figure out what would actually work in my family, honestly, what would work in my house, so that we get it right as much as we can.
Okay, some of the questions, Julie, that have come into 51552. Does it take a special kind of person to be a foster parent?
I mean, I think foster carers are extraordinary. So I do think they're extremely special people. But at the same time, what foster carers would say is they're ordinary people, and children come from all sorts of different ways and life experience. And we need foster carers with all sorts of life experience.
Okay.
But my favourite is Orla saying you have to have an open heart and a flexible mind. And that to me is,
that's it.
Is gold.
Good criteria. Somebody texted in saying, I'd love to know why the foster families can't keep them on after 18.
So they can, and I don't know Shauna's individual thing, so I don't want to comment on that at all. But certainly I've worked with a lot of families where young people and the family are all very happy, and those young people have stayed in right into adulthood.
Okay.
There is aftercare supports and payments and all of that. But even apart from that, that's often a decision that's made. Sometimes at 18, when people have had a lot of life experience, they'd like to move out and they want to go do their own thing. And that's absolutely their right. But it's lovely, like Sean is saying, if they're staying in contact even with the family. But we're certainly not saying they need to leave at 18.
Somebody said, do I need to own my own home?
You don't need to own your own home. I'm conscious of what you were talking about earlier and all the worry that so many people have about housing at the moment. But you don't. You can be in local authority. We have people who are in local authority. We have people who are renting. We have all sorts of circumstances. I mean, a bit like the earlier thing in the programme, if somebody's really worried about their security of housing, we might say, do you know, get that steady before we look at fostering. But that's, we would just say, you don't have to own your own home to foster.
Somebody asked, can I decide on the child or the age group?
Yeah, and I always think when you say that, it sounds like you're saying, well, I have a pick list here of, you know, but actually what we would say is in the assessment, it is actually really important to be honest about what would work. So like when Orla talked about the younger child coming into the house, we know that the evidence is that usually where you have children of your own, it works better in the kind of normal order of things, that maybe the child comes in who's younger, so your eldest is still the eldest in your house. You know, you can imagine if the eldest suddenly gets knocked out of place and there's a child gone in older, those placements often don't work out. So we actually would work through with you what would actually work honestly in your house. But like we've gorgeous foster carers there recently who are older and their own kids are gone older, and he was really involved in youth work and really wanted to do work with teens, you know. So we talked about what you think would work in your house and what we know about what does and doesn't work, and try and make the best match. So you do get a say in the age of children.
What are some of the issues that foster parents might have to go through that say a biological family might take for granted?
I think it's sharing parenting, do you know, and the generosity of the way Liam talks about it. It is about the child's need first. So that child will want to often, not always, and every story is different, but children will often want to keep relationships with their own parents and family, even if they're not living with them, as well as their foster family. And it's about just being prepared to share that care. That takes extraordinary generosity of spirit. But that's the piece that's different, that it's not the same as your own child and you make all the decisions and whatever. Mm-hmm. You have to share them and you have to think about the child in the first instance, which every parent does. But in this case, you have to share that, I suppose, a bit more.
Now, Julie, working in this area, you yourself, you must have seen and heard some awful stories, obviously, without any details. How do you deal with that?
I think I'm 24 years working in this kind of stuff, and I certainly don't see the world in black and white, Jen, anymore. I see an awful lot of grey, and I see very tough and difficult things that have happened, but really loving families and children who are doing their best. And how I deal with it, and I know a lot of my colleagues, working with these children is magic. Working with these foster carers where you see kids coming out of themselves and getting their confidence and just figuring their way through in life is the stuff that I certainly keeps me going in it.
Okay, before a child goes into care, what are some of the options that TUSLA tries with struggling families before the child is put into care?
Yeah, I mean, we do a lot around sort of, we really work very hard and with partner agencies in the community to do a lot of sort of prevention, family support work, where we are really getting worried. You might have things like what's called safety work, where you're really working around safety. And again, Liam spoke about, you know, sometimes we're at the point where we think, look, we're really worried and we're looking at care. And then, you know, brilliantly, a family member maybe steps up or something like that for a child. So we do everything to try and keep children in their own families, supporting families, maybe also if we need to, safety plans with maybe other friends and families around those children before they come into care, and then sometimes it's needed.
Okay. Julie, we're getting so many questions in. We don't have time to address them all, but some have really specific questions. If anybody is interested, so just one last time, where should people go to?
Yeah, so the website is fostering.ie. So it's Tusla, obviously, is who I work for, and Tusla Fostering. And the telephone number is 1-800-226-771. And just please get in touch. Don't rule yourself out. There's a lot of information on that website that could answer questions, but also just give us a ring and talk it through with us. If you've only had one phone call and it does or doesn't work out, what harm? And a lot of people even get information and they might say maybe not now, but in a year's time, and those people have come back and been brilliant, you know, so...
Amazing. And thank you for taking the time to come on the show. There we go. That was a principal social worker with Tusla, Julie Cahill, answering just some of our questions and your questions on the work they do with regards to fostering.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.